Rock woke up in his holding cell with a splitting headache.
Oh, what the hell happened?
Ah, you're awake.
Dovine, what's going on?
You won. You beat the Zrano. Unfortunately, you seem to have passed out soon after.
What? I didn't pass out. One of your guards clobbered me.
Oh, I'm afraid you must be mistaken. You rose your hands in victory and then promptly passed out. It must have been the strain of battle. For somebody like you, who has never been in a fight your entire life, it must have been too much. In any case, you are only the third survivor in the history of the games. You must tell me, though, where you found that strange gun.
The gun? Oh, I don't know. I just saw it. Odd.
It must have been left by an admirer. The security staff will be punished for their lack of oversight. Such an obvious error on their part. And that was quite a dodge, jumping between its legs.
Legs? I don't understand. Wasn't it flying?
Your trainer had informed me that you had trouble seeing the Zrano during preparations. I do think you must have been hallucinating for most of the battle. Truly, it is one stroke of luck after another. By all accounts, you should have been killed many times over in that arena.
Yeah, but as it turns out, I wasn't. So what now?
Now, you are to be congratulated and released.
Released? Well, that's great. How soon can I get away from this asteroid?
You will be released on this asteroid, not off. That's all. You will never leave this tiny world. You live. That is all. And you will be granted a visit by the council head, Esmeralda's great Panzux himself.
Rock remembered the furrowed brow and irritable look of the man who had occupied a cloth-draped box in the second row at the arena. The man sitting behind the warden, when the warden had given him the laurel crown he still wore.
When is the Panzux coming here?
Soon. He wants to congratulate you, Roxon, and help make arrangements for your future. The warden has no power over you now. You're no longer a convict.
All he has to do is get me on a space rocket, and that'll be all the future of mine I can care about.
Fat chance. Be happy if he doesn't find something else nasty for you. You survived this, Rano. Let's see if you can survive meeting Panzux. He's quite changeable. A fruitcake, some say. You will see.
Roxon turned to the suddenly opening door. The man who walked in at the front of a small group was smaller than Roxon would have guessed from the stadium. His chin was not as assertive as it had seemed, yet the eyes were the same, wide, apart, and darkly feral, and the lips as generously twisted.
My congratulations, and those of all Esmeralda! You shall be permitted to live out your days with us in peace and honor as a citizen first class.
I don't want that. I have the right to leave.
Well, are you not a criminal? You would just be rearrested on Venus and sent back. Only here is your rehabilitation recognized.
I am a playboy. That used to be legal. I was railroaded.
You're now respected on Esmeralda. Why do you want to leave? There's much you haven't seen here. Very interesting, pleasant jobs will be offered to you. The women will please you.
I know as much about this asteroid as I'd like to know, ever. And work of any kind doesn't suit me, really. I insist on leaving.
But you haven't seen it all.
Nothing about this asteroid is worth knowing.
Not true! On this asteroid, everybody has to work in order to survive. In your case, you will be offered a good option. You can run a large industry, a factory of any kind at all.
I have an option to leave. That's the one I want to take. I read the rules in one of the many books I've been given.
There are certain problems of which you might not be aware. To start, a supply rocket doesn't take off until the end of the month. 20 more day-night units.
I want to be on it as soon as it arrives.
Passage has been strictly apportioned out among diplomats. Trade missions, people! Vital cargo! There isn't room for any luxury cargo like you. We didn't anticipate your survival, you see. I suspect the warden's daughter had a hand in that.
When will there be room?
Perhaps 4 or 5 cargo runs from now.
I want to be on the first available rocket in that case.
Yes. I see. It will be attended to, if you insist. But the wait will be very, very long. You will go on a tour of Esmeralda in the meanwhile. Maybe you will decide to stay.
I doubt it.
Oh, you are quite the corker. What work will you accept in the meantime?
None. I'll just tour around, if that's okay.
But how will you earn your food and board? You need credits now. Say, didn't you once have a managerial job? Wasn't that in your file?
I never worked. Not ever. I inherited all my money from an aunt.
What a strange man you are. Not before this have I encountered anybody who lived to your age without having done any work. Don't you want to be socially useful?
I consider that many of the things I've done are socially useful. The women think so.
Panzux, I believe he refers to his well-known and many relations with women. He claims to have made many women happy. Indeed, Roxanne has been with one each and every night since arriving here. A different one every night.
But where is the usefulness in that? You may have an interesting philosophy, but it is bankrupt, Roxanne. I don't have the wish or the time for a long conversation about your bankrupt philosophy.
You might be a better person if you did think about something more than toil on occasion.
I'm afraid I'm far too busy working for others to think about myself. But my question to you is this. What do you mean by saying that to make a woman happy can be socially useful?
Well, I'm not sure I know the full answer myself, but let a man make a woman happy, and he'll be happy himself. If they're workers, they can work better as a result of a certain amount of mutual pleasure in sex.
You're saying that to make bed with a woman is enough to sustain social usefulness? Not here! If you knew Esmeralda better, you'd agree. When you tour, you will understand, and then I am sure you will want to stay. I am certain of it.
To do something nice for another human being is itself useful, I say.
This conversation is over. During the next 5 or 6 months, while you wait for a space ride, you will be studied by a group of our leading scientists and theorists and scholars. Their reports ought to be of some interest to the Council, perhaps giving us all better knowledge of the latent criminality in some Earthlings, an insight into the great crime of laziness.
Fine, whatever. But you'll still put me on a supply rocket. See that I'm reserved for it.
Yes. Provided you will assist our studies, is that clear? Good. Until the next time.
Without waiting for an answer, the ruler and his posse started toward the door. Dovine went with them. Watching his swagger intently, Roxanne realized how much the two of them really shared. Each was intelligent and opinionated. Each was willing to talk from a point of wary mutual respect. But there was yet something else that the two of them shared. At no time would either be able to understand each other. Roxanne leaned back into his bed. His head still hurt, and his encounter with the Zrano was getting more muddled by the hour. Was it a giant insect or mammal? Where did he manage to find that odd weapon?
What a terrible place to live.
1 month later, Dr. Kreister, the phyloscientist, addressed the 12-man Esmeraldan Council.
Yes, Roxanne has seen the mines and refused to work there. He has been studied for a month. 4 months approximately are left until Roxanne leaves us. 4 months during which he will continue to be totally useless, taking up needed air and space and eating precious tiblets. Tiblets that only workers deserve. No work, no air. And he affects women in a bad way. Makes them rebellious.
So you suggest?
That he be put to death. I see no other alternative. The rulebook allows for exceptions under emergency situations. Roxanne is an emergency.
And you believe that he will be of no use?
None at all. He is nothing more than a waste of our valuable resources. The sooner he can be put to death, the better.
I'm right here.
So?
Wait, do I get to defend myself?
I've allotted 22 minutes for a deposition of this matter. There is no time allotted for your response. You may continue, noble Dr. Kreister.
Thank you. As I said, he should be destroyed.
I think he could do something good for our community yet. His charisma cannot be denied. Roxanne will be sent to the Bureau of Corrections. If, at the end of his stay, he is deemed unrehabilitated, he will be destroyed.
Good day, Mr. Roxon.
Hello.
I am Eslin. I will be in charge of your rehabilitation. I trust you understand the stakes here.
Yeah, I either change my mind about the work or I'm killed. What happens? Am I shot out of an airlock? Fed to the Zrano? Just taken out back and shot?
Nothing so barbaric. Your real concern here is about your choices today. Now, according to Dr. Kreister, you don't use your eyes for work or study, just for pleasures. You are no help to anybody, and have done nothing but engage in carnal acts for no reason. Is this correct?
Well, it's not for no reason.
Well, perhaps he sees use differently than others. I suppose he believes that simply making women happy is an acceptable profession. Perhaps it is, on Earth. They, after all, do not have to work as hard to survive as we Esmeraldans. What we must do is show him how different types of work are done, and by whom, and to try to change his mind. Give him a great choice. Make him understand.
You won't succeed, Brumac, but you may try.
Very well. Follow me, Roxon. You will learn of all the things we do to make your life here possible.
Much relieved, a tired Roxon was taken to the home of a contented factory worker, a man supposedly at ease with his women and their children. Rock, with Brumac looking on, was startled at the tiny room in an apartment complex that the three women, three children, and one husband lived in.
Do all of you live here?
Of course. This unit is 12 by 14. The roof is made of soft, warm glass alloy, and the floor is polywood. The toilet's under the bed. It pops out, as do six bunks from the wall. We have to conserve space, do what's best for the community. We manage, as long as we can work.
But what about privacy?
That would not aid the community.
Wait, what about washing?
There is a utility bathroom with shower. Each citizen gets 2 quarts of non-potable water.
And a sink?
The sink is unnecessary, as they have the shower.
What about cooking? I don't see a range.
That is all stored under the second bed. The range and freeze-all and visiscreen are part of the same unit stored under the bed.
Is this your family?
What's left of it. The work in the mines is dangerous, and I lost my wife during a double shift. So my child and I were absorbed into this unit, which has 3 women, all of whom lost their partners as well.
How in the hell can living beings live like this, after working as hard as these people do?
Like all of us, we have to conserve space and energy. Each person here is a work unit, no more, except the children under 5 years old. Your responses are intensely interesting from an academic point of view, but you haven't a very practical mind. I would hate to lose such a fine specimen as you.
What next?
I'll continue to show you the importance of what we Esmeraldans attach to work, Roxon. I have faith that all men, even you, will see that work is its own reward.
At a factory, producing as part of a trade agreement spare parts for androids on Venus and Alpha Centauri 4, a thin-lipped officer escorted Roxon along the noisy work floor.
Well, after my time here, I go home for an hour with my women and boy, then have a meal, and go out to my other job. I'm a miner in pit 397691.
You've got 2 jobs?
Used to have 3, but I found myself falling asleep at odd times and had to give one of them up.
Do you need credits that much?
I work for the pleasure of occupying additional waking time. What's there in life except work? Well, and arena games, of course.
That's it? You only...
Hold that thought! We got a code 12 in section Delta 6! Well, there we go. Somebody's taking care of that. Now, where were we?
What was your other job, the third one?
Oh, I worked at the human factory.
The what?
Yeah, it's the place where... Hey, oh, damn it. Stay right here. Hey, buddy! I said Delta 6! Code 12! Yes, you!
I should think a man like that one would have a breakdown.
Breakdown? Here? The possibility is handled nicely on this asteroid. I'll show you, if you think you'd be interested. Maybe. Yes. Maybe you'll be interested to work in that section. Mind preservation.
Brumac made some computations in the computer under the car's steering wheel. The CompU car diverted, took them through a silent stand of artificial trees and under a waterfall with liquid shooting down in color sprays. Not real, a hologram. Shortly, Brumac eased the car down into a slot by a small, white-painted shingle building. Inside the building, 20 men and women were sitting stiffly on chairs. The nearest woman had a pained look on her shiny features. Rock's smile wasn't returned. He looked for some possible cause besides bad manners, and saw that the woman's hands had been tied to the plastic's arms of the chair, her waist to the chair back. A tube came out from her arm, attached to a bag full of clear liquid.
What's wrong with her? With all these people?
Mental instability. But that will be fixed. Observe. How are you feeling today, number 7223?
I feel well. I feel perfectly well. I want to go back to work, to both of my jobs, very soon. Very soon.
Is that what you do to anybody who says he's had enough? You tie them down and shoot them so full of drugs they do nothing except recite bullcrap? Is that it?
Look, Roxanne, this is nothing compared to the next room. That's reserved for prisoners like you. People who don't accept jobs, don't accept limits of freedom. You've got friends in high places, but once the council gives up on you, you'll be corrected. I warn you.
For a second, Rock had some sort of weird deja vu. He pictured himself in the same sort of contraption, only with a headset and needles going into his brain. He remembered this feeling from when he fought the Zrano, but couldn't quite put his finger on it.
Well, what else would you suggest? It gets them back to work. They don't remember this anyway.
What about vacations for them?
Oh, I'm afraid there's too much work to be done. Everybody who wakes up with a headache or a nosebleed will soon be demanding a vacation. It would be chaos.
Once a year, at least. It could be a big help.
Do you know what happens to men and women on vacation? They spend all the time hating each other and their families. They play too much and then become ill. Many a man or woman has become deathly ill in the course of a vacation, as you call it, and many have died as a result.
That's not true. People are well rested, and they can do better work when they come back.
People are bitterly unhappy during the vacation periods. I'm telling you, it hurts production. On Esmeralda, there's hardly enough of anything to go around. We live on a frontier of the galaxy. This is a hard life. And every possible area of productivity must be pushed forward.
I think I can understand that, but I can't understand this sort of therapy. Maybe production could be better if people were allowed freedom.
I take it you don't want to work here. All you have to do is feed them and turn the therapy on and off, and some paperwork.
I'd really rather not.
Well, we had best leave then. Next, Roxanne, you'll see
I'm too tired. I've been up for 36 hours at least. I need rest. I feel strange.
Where do you want to go?
The place where I'm living. The room in the first arena, I suppose.
Very well. Tomorrow you will visit a parts factory. I do hope you enjoy it for your own sake.
He ate dinner by himself. A primitive meal, not remotely like what he'd been fed when he was expected to go up against the monster. The food slid down his throat, leaving no taste at all.
Come in.
The spectacularly built strawberry blonde girl who walked into his room wore a mask.
Kim? Kimetta?
No, I'm a clone. Ronette.
Oh, you look a lot like her.
Yes. We're to have sex now.
She stripped off all of her outer clothes, then her bra, and her panties.
I prefer to do all the work in the sex act, okay?
Did you want to talk a little bit first?
There's no reason for it.
All right, then.
He lay back and enjoyed it, suspecting strangely that this was not a twin, but the real Kimetta. Kimetta playing games. Within an hour, he had to take another tiblet. He was out of breath.
Excuse me, but I'm not a machine intended for pleasure. I have to think. Alone. Something's wrong.
Only a sharp look from Ronette proved that she had retained some human sensibilities.
If you've got any new ideas for sex, we'll do it. If you've never thought of it before, think of it now. And don't be shy. Kimetta said to give it all to you.
Far be it from me to pass on an offer like that.
The next few minutes passed in almost a dreamlike state, as far as he was concerned. She was ready for what he wanted. Her body fine-tuned to please. Left leg raised, lowered, raised. He had only to indicate, to gesture, and it was done for him as he craved. She was better than Kimetta, or if she was Kimetta, she'd been practicing. Or the dream was getting better. Crazy thought. They slept in one another's arms. When he awoke before the masked girl, he started to kiss her, to touch her lightly until the shiny skin tingled in his hands and against the tips of his fingers. He wasn't impatient, but he took his time and explored the hollows and curves, the breasts and the flat stomach. The girl's big blue eyes opened. Even with the Lone Ranger-type mask on, she looked amazed. Then she reached out, embracing him as if for dear life. Slowly, her hands and lips and tongue began to respond, to join him in avid exploration, in the giving and receiving of mutual pleasure. This time, it was different than last night. It was tender. Later, as they lay all sweated up, she finally opened up.
So what is it you do?
My job is simple. I make bed with a man, like all the other unattached women on Esmeralda, for credits paid by the asteroid government. But if only the transaction had the government's approval, of course.
So you just go where you're told?
I don't pick the partners, no. Only real women like Kinetta Langdon can pick their sex partners.
Why?
The man has to be worthy of the relaxation, that's why.
That doesn't sound great for you. Do you ever get a vacation?
A vacation? I haven't even heard of that. Is vacation a good position?
No, it's... never mind.
Oh, well, look at the time. I've been in this room longer than any other time I've been sent to service a man. It's time for me to go.
Wait, can I see you again?
Yes, but you must ask for me again. They allow preferences. I'm K-51 Ronette. Don't forget.
I won't.
Is that a promise?
Of course.
Not until after Ronette had left did Rock turn toward the bureau and see a 10-credit note. He had been on Esmeralda long enough to recognize the square piece of red paper. His smile ended. He flushed deeply. He found himself feeling sorry for that delightful girl. She had made bed with many males, but had enjoyed herself only once. And the only sure way she knew how to show that enjoyment was to pay him. Roxon was taken out to a parts factory that day in what he thought of as the morning. After his first long look around, he wished he had never gone to the place. He wondered what was going to happen to him if he didn't take a job soon, though. The large building, 3 stories tall, was unpainted concrete, a blank from the outside. The receiving room was large and wide, with head-high file cabinets. A prim brunette woman in a gray nurse's outfit sat behind a desk the shape of a lima bean and filled out Audi writing cubes by micropen. The cubes were then deposited into a drawer. There were millions of cubes already filed.
Brumac, why did you want me to see this? What is this place?
Sort of a morgue. Come see.
Rock's throat seemed to catch as the nurse led him into a well-lighted, vast, white room. A man in a gray smock was standing beside a table on which a bluish human corpse lay. The corpse's eyes had been removed and put onto a bed of soft plastic. Another man in a smock was sawing off the body's legs, while a third checked out nasal passages with a small machine that dilated the nostrils. For a second, Roxon thought the corpse was himself.
Deviated septum? No use for that. What about the sexual parts?
Excellent condition. But there's no need for penis transplantation anywhere at this time. We'll store it, all the same. I want a report on the liver and kidneys and spleen and stomach, Henry. The heart problem killed him, so we do without that. He's been hearted before, hasn't he?
A transplant only 12 weeks ago, the second after his third attack. This guy couldn't get used to the residues in the air at his L-chromide factory. Allergy, I guess.
Oh, hell, I have a new patient. Henry, you finish with the testicles right away. I don't want to be busy with this one any longer.
As the assistant started removing the parts, Rock couldn't prevent the tension that made him cup both palms over his crotch.
I'm getting out of here.
He and Brumac went back to the file room. The nurse looked up and smiled. They rushed past, and Rock was surprised to see the bearded Eslin himself waiting outside the main door.
That's the one place even I myself find it hard to stay in. It's all that talk about transplanting livers and spleens that disturbs me.
I guess each of us is disturbed by different things. I didn't think a parts factory would mean human parts.
It occurred to me that you might not feel so sensitive and could consider working here. I see that I was wrong.
You sure were. I'd rather work with the living.
A nobler sentiment would be to collect spare parts for the needy.
I can be noble.
Let's see if that's true. Brumac, take him to the life school. If he doesn't want that job, you failed. And then...
I'll do that.
For a moment, Roxon and Brumac seemed to like each other, because it was obvious neither liked Eslin. The life school was a 5-story unpainted building without windows. Lots of blanks on this planet.
So, this is the life school.
Indeed. It is our hallowed halls, where we all learn the quiet dignity of...
The school's front door burst open, and a dozen men and women in pink tights and no tops rushed out to the artificial air. One of the young men was being pelted by all the others' clenched fists.
What is this? Why are you all wasting time?
It's his fault! He deserves all we're doing to him!
Oh? What's he done?
Well, among other things, Briel 49 kept some important Audi writing out from the library for 6 weeks! And then, when he was forced to give it back, he had X'd out important right parts that would have helped other students of the life school.
She glowered at the young, finely built male who was wilting under her glare.
And I myself caught him breathing on a culture in a lab experiment of mine, so it wouldn't work out right. I caught Briel 49 red-handed, do you hear?
I see. That's even more despicable. Briel 49, you deserve whatever these fellow students do to you.
But
continue! Let us enter.
Oh, what the hell was that?
Students fight each other for unfair advantages in the name of hard work. It makes for resourceful members of the community. Competition is godly.
No, it isn't.
I'm sorry, Roxon, if your ethical concepts are being shaken. Or should I say, unethical concepts? Let's see a classroom.
The classroom was empty, but there were book machines and piles of Audi cubes on each of 100 desks.
Here, the young study the history of work to develop the logic inescapable, derived from the great von Klusen-Klassen himself, the great statement that nothing in this universe matters except work.
That's the life school?
That's it. Do you think you could be a better proctor here? Good work for an intellectual man of the galaxy. And you get to study the word of Klassen.
You know, I'd rather not. I hate school.
You are incorrigible. Well, maybe I'll give you one last chance to find employment, Roxon. Do you think you'd like to see the police forces at work? You might understand why certain security measures are necessary. Might want to join them for your stay here.
I wasn't meant to hold people down, even if what they're doing is wrong. Others can do that, but not me. I'm no cop.
Why? But you... Very well, then. Do you have any opinion of what you'd like to see? I've been consistently wrong. You might be able to solve the problem of work yourself.
Rock considered a long time.
I'd like to see little kids. I don't think that even here kids want pain.
Oh? Perhaps you'd like to teach small children.
Maybe I would.
Rock didn't add, before it's too late. Maybe he could do a little good on this damned work asteroid after all, in the few months he'd be staying. They went to a very large purple and red spotted building set in a grove with 3 others of the same 7-story size. It looked like a set of postmodern beehives. The sign on the buildings Rock saw filled him with a long moment's unhappiness.
Busy Bee Schools. Wait a second. Where are the windows?
There isn't any need to distract the children. Come on, let's go into a school unit.
Now take out your writings and turn to the first blank section after yesterday's lesson.
In a well-lit classroom, a robot looked out at 60 bald-shaven boys and girls, all about 6 years old. Rock was struck by their quiet, by the absence of rustling or whispering. Were they doped up? The children moved with a minimum of fuss and stirring. Rock, who'd never seen anything like it from youngsters, just stared.
You will audi-write the following. Work is the peak state of being for any man. Without work, there is no productivity. And without productivity, all societies will fall. When one party works hard and produces goods with high quality and quantity, that party will soon supplant the second party, which is lazy and fails to create product of any value. Not only is it our duty and pride to produce at a rate unmatched by any other party, but it is in our national security. To work is to live, and to live is to work. This is as quoted from Clausen's Book of Philosophy, Volume 3.
What
now,
is all this?
Take, for instance,
those kids
two
are
brothers.
As if they've been programmed.
One spends his days
is anything
staring
wrong with
out
them?
A window.
Why is their hair
and
all shaved
of many
off?
Different
of
things,
course they are quiet. This is preparing for
he
work.
Shiftless,
one's natural need for individuality is best when eliminated at an
without
early age. They should all look and sound alike.
But they're being turned into zombies. Don't tell me something hasn't been done to them. I've seen healthy kids learning their lessons, and it's nothing like this. They must be drugged.
It's obvious. On Esmeralda, we've eliminated nonsense from children by giving them Barlax 39 in their tablets. Barlax 39 makes them calm and attentive over a 24-hour period. They go to sleep when told, they recite when told, always well-behaved. At age 8 years, they're switch to Coors Connex pills for a full 12 months, which allows for memorizing jobs with complex responsibility. After that, they're considered to be full-grown citizens, and they're sent to work.
You're turning the kids into monsters.
No, quite the contrary. They escape unpleasant, squirmy phases that children on other planets and asteroids have to go through. The pains of growing up are avoided.
But people have to be alive to go through phases. You can't take away from children the right to live through a normal phase, even though it's a hard one. When you do that, you force them to be less alive. It's worse than uncivilized.
We can't afford to waste time with children in emotional difficulties. Every child is a needed unit.
No! Every child is important. Everyone is unique.
Eslin and the Council are right. You never will agree.
That's the best thing you've told me all day.
As the Book of Clausen says, you reject life when you reject order. I doubt your high-placed girlfriend can help you now, you ingrate.
What is the result of your efforts at reform, Brumac? Has our playboy discovered a way to live a good, healthy, productive life?
I come to the Esmeraldan Council today to inform you that I have failed to correct Roxen. He has unequivocally refused all offers of work, even the simplest and most lucrative jobs.
So we have exhausted every resource, then?
Every resource, Great Panzoot. But one. One last chance, Roxen. You might want to work in the area that provides pleasure for the people of Esmeralda.
Oh, now that sounds interesting. That's it. That's the work I'd like to do. You thought of it at long last.
Then, excellent. You will begin your job as trainer, right?
Wait, hold on. Trainer?
Yes, for the arena. I feel that room can be made for arena employment by someone as interested as you in improving the quality of life here.
Whoa. You mean trainer, like the guy who didn't let me train for the fight with the Zrano?
Correct. In the meantime, however, our new Zrano has been successfully grown in our vats. The first match is going on right now.
Eslin turned on a nearby visiscreen. A picture unmistakably clear. A photograph of the Death Arena appeared. The ritual of death, it seemed, had started once again. The new Zrano looked exactly like the old one, fuzzy. Rock's head started to hurt, something that hadn't happened in over a month. On the other edge of the arena, a mortally frightened man stood in the middle of the arena, his legs shaking. Roxon couldn't keep his eyes from the screen, despite his disgust.
If you want to improve the games, you have a good chance to do it in your new job.
What do you mean?
Rock watched the victim make a run for it. He was young and ran very fast in a zigzag, but the Zrano kept at his heels.
You, of all people, can surely think of some ways to ease the strain on the gladiators' lives. I feel that you might be interested in...
Oh, here he comes! The Zerano's got him now!
He looks pretty worried.
Worse than that, petrified!
How does it feel out there, knowing that you're facing death? I mean, how does it really feel inside?
Rock said nothing and looked away. Getting to his feet slowly, Rock planned on talking to these men quietly, making them understand what their evil system was doing to other humans. But they were enraptured by the pictures of the man dying. Almost before he realized what he was doing, he walked up to the visiscreen.
You can't do that! You outlaw!
You're telling me what I can do? You're sending people to their deaths for nothing more than a simple laugh. It's like those men's lives are games to you! You! The Council! You have to be better than this!
All the Esmeraldan councilmen were standing in silent outrage. Only Eslin, briefly on his feet, returned to his seat and was staring in a disconcerted way at Rock.
I felt sure you would take the arena job. After all, you've had direct experience of the games and have expressed some interest about the things that give pleasure to others.
Pleasure? Pleasure? Pain for others isn't pleasure? Is that really so hard for you all to understand?
You will be taken back to your room. I think we've all seen enough of you. There is obviously no hope for you. I wash my hands now. Heavens, how I tried.
And at that moment, a flick of fear coursed through his body. He would have run, but the very thought made his pain bracelet warm up in anticipation. Somehow, he would have to face the pain. Or run. But run where? Where does a man in a box run? The sentence was execution. Tomorrow. Back in his guarded room, Rock found the answer to his dilemma on his bureau. The inspiration was the 10-credit cash note from Ronette.
Hello, Eslin.
You will come with us to the execution cell. There, you will spend your final 24 hours while we prepare your body for processing.
No.
No? I hardly feel that you are in any position to argue.
I'll accept a job.
What?
A job. I've got a job in mind that I can do very well.
What job would you like to perform? This I've got to hear.
It occurs to me that if the women of Esmeralda were more pleased with their bed partners, it could bring on a state of general happiness that would increase their production.
Yes, I'm sure. Tell me, then, what work you would seriously suggest for yourself. There's not much time before we execute.
It occurred to me late last night that I'd like to show on a Visi screen how it is possible for a man and a woman to be happy making love. I can record my encounters with the women. Show other men how to do it. Sex is as natural as sleeping and eating. And you wouldn't, I'm sure, hesitate to show those other functions on a visiscreen.
I see. Interesting. But the visiscreens are hardly watched, except during the Zrano games. And there are 5 games this week.
Then just knock the games off the air.
I hardly think that's a good idea. No, but we can't do that. The games cause universal pleasure, and to halt them is to invite a rebellion, or at least hurt production.
So it's production you're worried about. Then postpone the games and increase production. You need more production, don't you? Everyone here is on a bare sustenance diet, aren't they? Even you.
I think you have an idea, but the video is out. The next best thing would be to use audio writing. Do a manual on lovemaking, Roxon. That'll be your new job. You will be a writer. No correction of your mind necessary. Okay?
No. There are already manuals on the mechanics of making love. I read one while waiting to fight. And quite frankly, the manuals haven't seemed to be helping the women. The girls think that sex is unpleasant or just a work duty they've got to be paid for. It shouldn't be like that. There can be joy in it for each. Warmth and pleasure and happiness increases work. Let me do the videos.
And who'd pay attention to advice on making sex from a young man whose only claim to fame here is that he survived an encounter with the Zrano?
There would certainly be some interest if you publicized my crime. Remember? I'm a playboy.
Oh, it might work. You have a fresh idea. Follow me so we can go tell Panzux.
Soon Roxen presented his case to Panzux, the council leader.
Sir, allow me to work at the job I'm best at. I know that it's against the laws of Klossum to deny a man work that he is good at.
I think you'd have to understand that my schedule is an imposing one. These few minutes spent on the matter of your future is the first free time I've had in many a long month. And now I must go.
You didn't answer me. I demand the job, and I need to do it with Kimetta. She's the best.
Despite how randy you may be, Roxen, I can assure you that this asteroid doesn't need an official pornographer. A royal pornographer.
Oh? Not even if the point is that the porno increases production? The great philosopher stated, the good is
improves
what...
improves production. You win. You have your job. To my dying day, I will never believe that I took part in any conversation like this. But we've been without wars, thanks to Klossum. A program of unceasing work is the answer for preventing mass slaughter.
Or it might be that the slaughter of a few people in an arena makes others stop thinking about...
Oh, go make your damn pictures, Roxen. That will be all. I'll advise the council the execution is off.
Thank you, Panzux. You will not...
Not another word from you! I will show you out!
The leader of Esmeralda opened the door on a surprise. A man stood in that door, lights glinting off the tip of a knife he was carrying tightly in his right hand, which was raised. The leader backed off, so that he was alongside Roxen. Only once Rock had successfully disarmed the man and sent him sprawling to the floor, did he recognize with whom he had been dealing.
You!
Brumac! What? Why did you want to do this?
Guards rushed in and held on to Brumac as he picked himself up off the floor.
I agree with Roxen. He's right. Life here is all work and no fun.
No. You need to be corrected. More waste, Brumac, of good manpower thanks to this man from Earth's evil influence.
No! You've been wasting every man and woman on this asteroid. You've been a disaster to Esmeralda, you and your cronies. Every year, production decreases.
Guards! Take him away!
You'll see, Panzoots! In another couple of years, this whole place will grind to a halt! Maybe
one
even
point,
sooner!
One point, Roxen. I'm aware that I owe you a debt, and we'll find a way to discharge it.
Just let me have Kimetta to make the instructional videos with.
I'll see. You realize she's a free woman. She might refuse. I can't order her. She's the warden's daughter.
I know. But she'll come to me.
But would she? He had the 3D video cameras all set up and ready, and Rock expected Kimetta to show up by midnight. But no go. Just as Rock was shucking his one-piece suit, figuring something had gone wrong...
Hi, honey.
He nearly fell back at the sight that greeted him. Not only was he looking at Kimetta, but she was naked, except for some sparkle highlights on random spots. Or was it Kimetta's clone, Ronette, without the mask? In any case, she was standing in front of him. She said she was really Kimetta, the girl who had helped Shanghai him, and then had saved him by giving him this Zrano's mother's picture medallion.
Come in.
Thank you.
So, it's good to see you. But you're Ronette.
But how did you know?
The real Kimetta, well, I'll explain to her when she gets here. Now go get her. Go on. Get out, honey, and send Kimetta here.
I'll leave, but...
Sorry. Maybe some other time.
Oh, okay.
Brock watched her walk off, not without some regrets. A short time later, a fully clothed, angry Kimetta was in his room.
Well, Mr. Perfect, Mr. Privilege,
I came here only to tell you off. You sent for me, did you? You want me to make your damned porn movie, huh? Well, I'm not...
There's not gonna be any porn movie. We're not gonna film anything.
You're damned right there's not!
No, I mean this was all a ploy. I was never going to actually do any work for these people. I just wanted to see you, one-on-one. And I knew that this way, you'd have to see me.
Oh, well, I'm sorry that it's all had to turn out this way, but I...
Why did you give me that medallion?
The medallion?
Yes. You said it would protect me from the Zorano.
Oh, I...
You can tell me. After all, you brought me here. Why hurt me, then help me?
I don't know. I just felt like it should be done.
Here it is.
Rock lifted the small blue object from under his shirt. It seemed to glow slightly.
Sometimes it glows. Do you know why it glows?
I don't.
It does this when it's near you. It does this because there's something familiar about you.
Well, I should hope I seem familiar.
No, like I knew you in a dream a long time ago. And sometimes that dream seems more real than what's in front of me. Like this medallion, for instance. It...
Rock's hand started to get warmer as he held the trinket. It seemed to fill his vision, and Rock started to recall that this was the same thing that had happened before. There, just as he saw it before, was the coffin, and he was inside it. Only now, there were some boulders that had fallen on top of the coffin. One had landed smack in the middle of the device, and lay there on top of Rock's chest. Rock hoped he was okay.
That's it. This is the dream.
This is what?
This is the dream, right here. Esmeralda, the arrest. Divine, the Zorano, Panzooks, everybody. That's why the Zorano kept changing shape. I was trying to find the scariest thing I could think of for myself. That's how it went right through me. And that's how I found the shot pistol. Because I knew it was a dream.
Roxen, you're not well.
No. I'm better than I've been in a long time. Look at my bookshelf.
Okay, I'm looking. What am I looking for?
Just watch.
And Roxen focused on one book and concentrated. He imagined the book moving. He believed that the book would move.
Rock!
And the book started to lift up in the air, entirely of its own accord. Rock continued to concentrate, and it changed shape and color, turning into a tiny biplane. The model aircraft soared around the room, doing loops, barrel rolls, and advanced flight maneuvers that Rock started to remember from his flying time. The book plane hit a wall, exploding in a miniature fireball.
Do you believe me now? Chimera, I need you to trust me. Do you believe me?
I do!
Then we've got to escape.
But if this is your dream, why can't you just imagine your way out of this place?
You've got a point there.
And Roxen started to concentrate on his surroundings. He shouldn't be in this room, having barely avoided execution. He shouldn't be anywhere near an asteroid, flying in the middle of outer space. He should be someplace warm, full of nature, at a creek. But when he opened his eyes, everything was still the same.
Why hasn't anything changed?
I don't know.
Rock looked down at the medallion. It still showed his body trapped in that coffin, wires and cables coming out of his body.
That's it. This dream is part of the program. I can't change what's coming into my brain from outside, but I can change what my brain has been filling in.
What do you mean?
The big parts. That this place exists, what it looks like, this pain bracelet on my wrist. All of this was coded as part of the dream. But the books, what you look like, the Zorano, all of that was filled in by my own head. So look in the mirror.
Okay.
See your hair?
Yeah.
You're a strawberry blonde. And now you're a brunette.
Hey! Change it back! That's not fair!
Oh, I don't think it's that bad.
But I liked my hair. Change it back!
Okay, fine. There.
Oh, much better. Rock, this is really weird.
I know. But I've got to get out of this dream. But I don't know what's been programmed in and what I'm just filling in.
But if you wake up, will I no longer exist?
You're a part of me, Kim. Kimette. You're somebody very close to me in the real world. And you come from that. You do exist out there. Just not with your memories.
So if I help you get out of here, you'll wake up and I'll cease to exist.
None of this ever existed in the first place. Not Dovine, not Pangzux, not Esmeralda, not our time on Venus. I was never a playboy. I'm a free fighter, fighting for the reunited states. And there's still a battle going on over there. I need to be part of that battle, in the same way that the other you is part of that battle. Where we're working to restore freedom and liberty, and to make sure that people can follow their dreams instead of simply doing what somebody else told them they should do, or have to do, with their lives.
I'll do it. To make sure you wake up, Rock, I'll help you escape.
Thank you. I'll never forget this.
I hope you don't, because I won't be around to remember it myself.
First, we need to find a way to get rid of this pain bracelet.
I can help you with that. I'm a free citizen here, and people trust me. I'm the warden's daughter, after all. But how will that...
Once the bracelet's free, we can head to the spaceport, and there, we can simply run from the dream. The programming has to run out eventually. If we get far enough away from what it knows, maybe my brain can overcome it and wake up.
That... I hope it works.
It's the only chance we've got. Let's go.